Good morning. It's the day the Lord hath made. Part two. Yeah, you got it. Part two, God's people need God's word. I know that. I'm going to tell you that right off. About 6 or 7 weeks ago, I told you I woke up with just that simple sentence in my heart. I didn't make that up. It was placed there. I believe the Lord put that in there to remind me of that. It's the simple things that we look past and we forget because we've been saved a long time, but we forget. But the bottom line, how do you go through this life? How do you face this life? The bottom line is this: God's people need God's word. You know, ignorance is expensive on every level. Did you know that? Ignorance is expensive on every level. One of the great writers, I love some of his writings, especially his gleanings books, Arthur W. Pinky, said it this way: we cannot know his will if we are ignorant of his word. And that's a strong, strong statement there. Oh, I just love God. And a lot of people are in it for the goosebumps. But how many of you know the goosebumps are not the things that keep it going? The goosebumps are not the thing that keep it going. The goosebumps are just the little momentary blessings you get. And it's the day-by-day warfare that's going on. David said it this way in Psalm 119, verse 105. He said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." What is your word? God's people need God's word. We can't know his will if we're ignorant of his word today. And I carried the heavy burden for a long time to say this to you today. God's people need God's word. Last week I made one statement. I want to make it again. The more enlightened we become, the more ignorant we become in our world today. We read the New Testament writing that says it this way: presuming themselves as wise, they became utter fools. And we're living in that right now. Those who think they're wise, look at the word in light of the word, in comparison through the word. Through the word glasses, they're utter fools. Oh, or what I don't know won't hurt me. Not true. You cannot be oblivious. You got to wake up or the door will knock and you'll be surprised. It can be fatal. The prophet Hosea, in the writing that I read last week, and we'll read part of it again in a few moments, the prophet Hosea was an intense proponent for the concept of word knowledge. Word knowledge, not information knowledge, but word knowledge. And I closed last week by making this statement. It won't be up there because after we put the notes to bed, this is added to it. Word knowledge is not found in ritual, nor is it found in religion. It is found in revelation. Word knowledge is not found in a ritual. It's not found in religion. It is found in revelation. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, he said, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel." We took a long time last week to establish he wasn't writing it to the heathen. He wasn't writing it to the people that were obstinate to war. He was writing it to people who were supposed to be covenant people. "Children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land." You really don't want a prophet showing up on your door and say, "The Lord has something against you guys today." Well, we read that. We'll read that later on in Revelation when John writes that and deals with the whole church and said, "God's got something against you guys." How many of you don't never want to hear those words? No, you know, there's certain words you don't want to hear. You don't want to hear Jack Bauer say, "Take them there and bring the kit. I'll make them talk." You never want to hear that statement made, and you never want to hear the Lord has something against you. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Now look at this through the eyes of what is in our world today. By swearing, by lying, by killing, by stealing, by committing adultery, they break all restraint. What does that mean? The word, the covenant word that we should have, should be the thing that should restrain the flesh man from the lying, from the killing, from the stealing, from the adultery. They break all restraint and bloodshed upon bloodshed. It's amazing to see people, and I'm not convinced of what media tells us motives are right now, because there's just too much out there. I think if they were really, really concerned about the crime problem, somebody said the other day that if you took Chicago and you took New York and LA and removed them from the crime stats, you'd be like 140-something in the world. Do something about those places there, those people that need help desperately. But yet we can't say those things. That's the demonic thing that stops us from even speaking. I read a story about in the Netherlands just this week, a feminist activist. We wouldn't be spending Christmas together, okay? She wouldn't like me. We'd have a problem. This feminist activist, though, has been put in jail for 3 months in the Netherlands. You know what the feminist activist was put in jail for saying? She made this statement. She said, men can't be lesbians. God love her. They put her in jail because they called it hate speech. They called it hate speech. That's going on. I've got the headline on my phone. Hate speech in jail. There's something wrong with those things. By the way, all the people that have been telling you about believe the science, I want you to stand up and say, I believe the science. I believe in an XY chromosome. I believe in an XX chromosome. That's the science. Don't tinker with it. Don't tinker with it. I don't care. You can get your surgery, but you're still. You take dog Bubba, and Bubba has surgery, he's still Bubba. That's all I'll say about that. Boy, I could get in trouble right about here. There is a penalty, though, for the willful lack of knowledge. And it's not just the information. Jesus said to Hosea, say this. And out of his mouth, the word of God says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Why? Because you have rejected knowledge, not information. I will reject you from being the priest for me because you have forgotten. Now, note, I put forgotten in quotation marks. Not, that doesn't mean in your memory you forgot, but it means in your practice you forgot. It got moved to a back burner. It was no longer important. It wasn't that you forgot it. It's that its place of importance had been removed. You have forgotten the law of your God, so I'm going to forget your kids. The most important lack in your life is the lack of the knowledge of the Word of God. Right now, on so many levels, people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge of God's Word, even God's people. Why? Because we have generations of kids who never were in church. They were playing volleyball in the rec center with a youth pastor, and they don't know the words. They don't know the lyrics to songs. They don't know the scripture verses there. It helped. God's people don't even read anymore. They've grown weary. They don't grow. Today, they're lethargic. They're lazy. And if the Word is more than 22 minutes long, and there's not a poem and a movie review in it or a clip from something on TV, it can't keep their interest anymore. They're being destroyed, though, when they hit the wall because there's a lack of knowledge, lack of foundation. Even the importance of imparting knowledge to the kids is so important today. The stories of Sunday school that we learned. In this scripture, God was dealing with the connection between the head and the heart knowledge that must be adhered to and applied. It's a combination of knowing what it says. It is getting it in our heart to love God, to lean into God. Then it is to apply these things in our life. It's wrapped. Last week, I kind of said it this way. It is all wrapped in words of faithfulness, love, and loyalty to God. Something is going to form us. Something is going to form you. A.W. Tozer said, if I look at the world, I'll conform to the ways of the world. If I look at the Word, I will conform to the will of God. My question for you today, what are you conforming to? What is the knowledge you are running to right now? Well, the question is, how did we get to this point? I'm going to show you, not just with Hosea's people, not just then, but even today. How did we get to where we are today that you cannot say anything that doesn't match their opinion? How can you do that? Romans chapter 1 tells us how we get to this mindset, whether it was back then, whether it was now, or whether it will be in the days to come. Chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes were clearly seen. In other words, just look. Just look. Just look. Have you ever looked at some of those pictures of some of the places on this planet right now and say, God's pretty good, isn't he? God's pretty good. You ever been driving and you see a sky and all these different colors and you say, he painted a pretty sunset, didn't he? Jack Hayford tells the story about a man who was in his church and he worked for he was in the church on the way in California. He said, and he worked for many years as a lighting director at CBS television. And he lit a lot of the TV shows, the sitcoms, the soap operas and the variety shows at CBS Television City there. And he was dying, And Jack went to see him, and he was a believer, and he wasn't afraid. And Jack was there. He said, I love you. He said, I just want you to know how much I love you. And he said, don't worry, Brother Jack. He said, I've talked to God. He said, I've only asked him for one thing. He said, I asked God one time, God, can I light the sunset? Could I set the lighting for the sunset? I've done it for every other TV. Could I set the lighting? He said, that's what I want to do when I go there. You look around, you can't deny what God did and what God created. You look at those mountains, you look at those bodies of water, and you say, God, you are so good. God, you are so, my friend John Hall used to sing, how big is God? How big and wide is vast domain? I mean, though man may strive to go beyond the reach of space. And he says, the open yard is just a portion of his yard. How big is God? How big and wide? How big is God? That's only one verse. I'm done. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are not without excuse. We understand that. Because, now, here's how we get to a problem. Although they knew God, head, although they knew who he was, they recognized, they did not glorify God. That is in the heart. That's the action. That's the speech. That's the motion. That's our lives. They were not thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, or their heads, by the way. They let their heads. And then their foolish hearts were darkened as a result. See the correlation I started with you just last week? This is where ignoring the word in your head and your heart leads you to. It leads you to a point there. Professing to be wise, I got ahead of myself earlier. Professing to be wise, they became fools. I think it's the NIV. I'm not quite sure. That says they became utter fools. That's the good word. Instead of they thought they were wise, but they became utter fools. That's where we are when you watch the tube today. And what they exchange is a better word. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Back up. Open the book. Man was created in God's image. Got it. Man gets in a problem when he creates man in his image. How did we get here? The word was no longer important. It wasn't right in front of us. We didn't work it in our heart. We knew all these things and everything he did, but we make God in our own image. That's the way we are with our worship today, and in contemporary church today. We adjust the covenant for our convenience. We adjust things to our taste and likings, and instead of what the whole gospel might say. So as you understand here, something happens when you do that, and you see a word like verse 24, that this one word says it all. This is a mom parent word. Therefore, I wrote therefore in all caps here on my notes. Therefore, the old preacher said, whenever you come to the word therefore, you need to ask yourself, what is it there for? It is there for a reason. Therefore, because of this, God backed away. He gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their hearts, dishonoring their bodies among themselves. That was in the news last night. It just had a flag with a rainbow on it. By the way, Noah called. He wants his rainbow back. Yeah. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged the truth. Let me give you a little good word of advice. You will always lose when you try to trade with the devil. When you try to trade with the devil, when you try to bargain with the devil, you will never win. You will never win. You will always lose. When the boys were little, I kind of did it when I was younger. My mom threw away I had Mickey Mantles. I had Willie Mays cards. I had all those cards, and they disappeared in a move one time. So back in the 80s, some of the guys, we started doing that again. And then right about the time we got married, we were doing it. Well, when both boys were born, I would buy a complete set of the current baseball card.
And I would have it just to have for them a little bit later. Well, consequently, both boys got involved, and we did it as the three of us with the baseball cards and the football cards and the hockey cards and the basketball cards and things like that. Don't laugh. If you had a Michael Jordan Fleer 1986 card right now, you could make $3,500 on that right now. But the boys, and they'd get their little binders. And Jeff was a little bit older than Tyler. At first, I would take Jeff to the, and you go to these card shows, and you go in a hotel there, and these guys were behind the, and these guys were car salesmen on steroids. I mean, they, hey pal, how you doing? Come on, let me see what you got right there. And the kid sometimes didn't quite know what he had in there, and he said, "Look, I'm going to give you this big old stack. Look at all these cards. I'm going to just give me that one right there, and I'll trade it with you." And I would stay with both boys, and we'd walk down there, and they'd see this big stack of cards, and they weren't worth a penny each, you know. And you see a card that's $10 or $15 little card right there, and the Don Mattingly rookie card or something like that. Jose Canseco. He had a rookie card that was $100, and then he got crazy and got DWIs and got other kind of problems. You can buy it now for $2 right now. So if they mess up, you lose money on your card right now. But I remember being with both boys, and I'd say, "No, we're not going to do that one. He's lying to you. That's not the truth there. He's trying to take your card away." It's the same way. You can't trade with the devil. And you need God over your shoulder by saying, "Boy, if you go for that big shiny thing, you're going to get your behind beat. He's going to eat you. He's going to take care of you. You can't." And I was playing God for them. "Don't do that, buddy. Don't do it. He's trying to take." "Yeah, but look at all." No. That's more valuable. Can you see the picture today? Can you see the picture? Whether it was in the scripture, someone wanting to trade his birthright because he was hungry, you lose in that trade, and it will haunt you for the rest of your life. I didn't plan to do that, but I like this. I think there's potential in that thought right there. It said, "Then they worshiped and they served the creature rather than the creator." Now remember at the beginning where he said, since creation, all could see what he did? And they were so dumb, they thought they were wise, and they started to worship the creation. What's going on right now? They're worshiping the creation there. The creation ain't going to save you. The creation is not there. Why is all this going on? Because my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Now that lands really good. That lands really, really good. It said they worship the creature rather than the creator. Well, did they do that in the Bible? Let me tell you how far out and crazy they got. When the man who delivered them out of Egypt was up talking to God, and they got a little ticked off, and they got afraid that he wasn't going to come back. They made a god. Now figure that out. Man making a god. That's crazy. Man made that thing. They begin to bow and to worship. That tells you two things. So man always has to have something bigger than him to worship. That's in us. But if man doesn't have the word, not just the head knowledge, the heart knowledge and the understanding and the repetition and the looking and going back to it, man will fall. Well, hey, let's build us a cow. You're laughing now. I used to laugh when I read history books and I would read the stories of Nazis going from door to door and take people out of their houses. And I'd say, "Oh my God, how could they fall for that? How could they fall?" I'm so glad we'd never fall for that. Let me tell you where we are right now. If they started with the bullhorn, most of the people you live around, probably 53% of the population, would run out and greet them, presuming themselves wise. They're fools. And then they wake up in a bondage that you can't get out of. Whenever force is involved, it's wrong. You watch it. They're not here to help you. You precious ones had to think about it this morning, even before you drove here today. It was going to cost you 2 times more than it did last year. I pray for you. I pray for each of us. That God would give us miraculous provision, that God would give us wisdom, that God would give us favor. And right now, they're getting away with all of it. Klaus Schwab and his World Economic Forum, the money that's going into a CDC that's controlling your lives. And he said, we can do it now. There's a man we know that was invited to come to this country to go to a Christian conference. He's a citizen of Canada. They would not let him leave his own country because he had not done everything he said to do. What you've been living in the last few years, presuming themselves wise, they're utter fools. So I just have to have the word, and I have to know, God, you know. I don't know. God, I'd get in trouble if I was left alone to fight it. They built a golden calf. I wrote this statement some time ago, and I went and found it. We are faithful to God when our hearts act on what our head already knows. We are faithful to God when our hearts act on what our heads know. We understand that, but it gets down in our heart. And as the old commercial was, when the rubber meets the road. Word knowledge will save our lives. Back to the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, people who do not understand will come to ruin and be trampled. That's not the right word on that. I repeat the words of understanding, the words of wisdom. It goes deeper than head knowledge. It's not just the facts, ma'am. How do you know? Does it lead to a behavioral change? Does it lead to a change in direction? Does it lead to a decision change so that it is not always an emergency? See, if you're living always in a state of emergency, you can't do that. Your adrenaline, you'll be worn out. You'll be laying flat on the lawn with drool coming out your mouth. You can't live in an emergency all the time. You need to know what's going on. Has it your behavioral, your thinking, your movement? Remember, honor and faithfulness are wrapped into this. How does this all start? I'm going to tell you how it all starts, how to pull it off. It starts with a renewed emphasis on reading the word. Have you done that? He starts with a new emphasis of applying the word. It is then starting with making appropriate life changes to walk that it consistently that is in line with a heart after God. Yeah, God's people need God's word. If you use God's word, you're wise. Hosea said in 14, he said, who is wise? Let him understand these things. By the way, this tells me this walk can be understood. It's not some spooky mystery. Who's prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. You talk the word to people who, presuming themselves wise, they stumble all over this. They call Psalms palms. They don't know, and they don't know any. They have not. The word is foreign to them. It's Chinese to them when they look at it. To find the, you want to find the way of the Lord? You find it in the word of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 11, David said, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How huge is this? How big is this? This talks now about understanding now. Let's talk about discernment. We need discernment. Discernment comes easier when we know the word and it's in us and it's become, and we have made changes accordingly to the word. Spurgeon said it this way, talking about discernment. He said, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It is knowing the difference between right and almost right. Almost right, if you think you're almost right on the map, you'll end up in Cleveland somewhere when you're going to Detroit. It's going to be the other way. It's not going to happen. The application says with knowledge of the word, we get smarter. Did you know that? Did you know with the application of the word, you get smarter? You get smarter when you apply the word to your life. And I encourage you with that today. Linda was reading. I just let her read. She's reading 2 Timothy this morning in the car. I've got it. 2 Timothy 1. You therefore, my son, you be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Now notice, not just the information. What do? Action. Commit these to faithful men who are able to teach also. You therefore, oh golly, it's going to be tough. You must endure, or I hate endure words, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare will entangle himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. If anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he even competes according to the rules. That's not true today. You know, Larry can join the girls' basketball team. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of his crops. Consider this, or consider this concept. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding. The word gives us knowledge. The word gives us insight. The word gives us perspective. Therefore, I can endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, verse 11. For if we died with him, we're going to live with him. That is an understanding that people who don't know the word cannot grab. It's folly to them. It is foolishness to them. But you and you're going, yeah, that makes sense. Why does that make sense? You've heard it, but your heart is toward that, and you understand those things right there. If we endure, we'll reign with him. But if we deny him, he's going to deny us. That is exactly the word that Hosea was. I tried to bring the Old Testament and the New Testament together here. If we are faithless, verse 13, he remains faithful. He can't deny himself. He's going to be God. So remind them of these things or these words, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, information there, or to the ruin of the hearers, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly understanding, rightly discerning, rightly faithful in the application of the word of truth. Boy, I wish I had some time on the rest of this verse here. But, hang on, temptations will always be lurking, by the way. Oh, especially after you've had your big victory. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. In other words, if that's our go-to, that increase the thing that comes out the most, it will always be our go-to. That's why I said it's got to be in the heart, and it affects our lives, our decisions, our behavior, and our words. Their message will spread like cancer. He mentions two guys right here, Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. Now, what's been going on here? There's not a lot to say about some of these guys right now, but here's the concept. He's talking about the purity of the doctrine continuing, and these were two guys that knew the truth, that knew the mechanics of it, but after a while, it was not the important thing, and they begin to create themselves either as leaders or begin to look another way. And he just used these guys as bad examples, guys that they knew. He said, these two guys are of this sort. What do you mean? They're profane, they're idle babblers, they're ungodly people, they've not been diligent to present themselves, they've been around it all their lives, they've put up chairs for the meetings, but they lived their life, they got to the point in time, they're just like that, they strayed concerning the truth. At one time, they had the truth. At one time, they were ushering. At one time, they sang in the choir. At one time, they taught the Sunday school. At one time, they helped the poor people. At one time, they were praying and they were calling on God. But as time passed, it did not stay in front. And actually, it got to the point where they started even questioning the resurrection. That's what kind of... What happens when the word is head knowledge and not understanding, heart knowledge? You don't have it. He said, they said that the resurrection had already passed. They overthrow the faith of some because they mislead them. That's talking about the resurrection to come. But always in tough spots, God has there's a door. And I love this transition word. Some transition words are not fun. This one's good. Nevertheless, even though it's going there in a handbasket everywhere you look. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Can I just tell you that? Put your weight down on that when you're looking all around you. By the way, this fact will always be. This will always be. His solid foundation will always stand. And he has this seal even. The Lord knows who are his. So let everyone who names the name of Christ make the movement, the behavioral change, the decision to depart from iniquity. And it's sure a lot easier to do if the word is not just here, if it's in here. This is the knowledge that God expects us to seek today, to practice it, to be loyal. It all starts in the word of God. Why? Because God's people need God's word. It's the key to everything. By the way, Jesus backed up all of these teachings, by the way. I wish I had time to go to the different times that he acknowledged what was in the word. I love the Luke 10 story. A certain lawyer. First off, it's a lawyer right out of the box right there. They knew who he was. He had billboards all over Jerusalem. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. Oh, there's always somebody trying to snare you. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, well, what's written in the law, dude? What's the word say first? What's the word say that you know of? What is your reading of it? He's saying, how do you interpret this, sir? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Right answer, ding, ding, ding. Right answer. Was that answer made up on the spot? No, it was already in the word. It was already in their foundation. But had he done it? The implication? No. And Jesus said, you've answered rightly. I love what he said. You do this and you'll live. Whoa. Boom. Is that great? You want some theology? My son, you must come. No, you do this and you'll live. You'll do this and it'll be all right. You ever heard the statement, his heart wasn't in it? That's really what Jesus is saying. Your heart needs to be in it, boy. Don't let that be said about us. Let's put our heart in the word. Be careful. Be careful when you land on the philosophy and the questioning and the anger of today. Question everything. See, that's why they're trying to break down the sexual identities. That's why they're trying to break down there. That's why they will try to go through anything in history on anything, anything to demean, anything to question. There's always a question that starts your problems. And it's always going against, because many times that is a diffusing thing. It is a, that's not the right word. It is a diversion. It's a deflective thing that gets us away from the fact at hand. And don't get off on rabbit trails with some cousin of yours. Well, I read this somewhere that has said this and this. And it just say, just keep reading God's. Don't you get red in the face. Don't worry about it. You go home, eat and laugh and go to bed. It's all right. It's fine. You don't have to answer your cousin's question or that neighbor that's always hanging out there on the porch. You know, we had a problem with our alarm today. Didn't need alarm when I was growing up. We had old ladies on the porch watching everything that went on there. Ain't nothing was going to go on in our street around there. We don't need any alarm. We had four alarms and they had gray hair. They were all up and down the street there. They were in charge. But it always starts, and you know when you're getting a little bit out of sort, your faith is waning and you're not quite in the word, when the questions start taking the place of what the, now you can always have faith and talk to God. Ask God, just pour out your heart, whatever you want. He's heard it all. But if it gets to the point that you, it's an attitude, you know, the enemy did not tempt Adam and Eve with murder. He did not tempt Adam and Eve with stealing. He did not tempt Adam and Eve with lying. They got off track when he tempted them to question the word of God. Wow. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what's the lesson? And all these things will be added. Okay, flip it backwards. You question the word of God, and there is anger, and you're serving, and you go to the flesh mindset, and all these things will be added. James says it that way. Read it, says, and every evil thing will be there. So beware. Oh, his tactics have not changed. You're not special. They've not changed. So to answer our questions, to arm us, to prepare us for the world in which we live, God's people need God's word. Amen. And what we know is a matter of life and death. Build your hope on things eternal. God's people need God's word. My part is done, but I want you to listen to me for just a minute. I told you last week, something like 88% of the population will not buy a book this month. Many won't even buy a book this year, whether it's on their phone, their Nook, or whether it's a solid book. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Out of the box, we've got to know the word. And then as we read the word, we're asking for the application of God's word. Here's what we're going to do. I asked Linda last week, let's, as a service to you, throw out a few things to you. I said, grab some things that you've been reading. I said, two books. Grab some things. Come here, babe. Wait till you see this. And this is all part of our message today. I said, I want you to grab a few things, and we're going to talk for just a minute, and I just want to show them to you. This is part of the message. And it is a vast array of different interests. All right, here you go.
Okay, here, you want to take that?
So I'll leave one piece of gum up here. She wants me to know.
Okay.
All right, baby.
Oh, I forgot mine.
That's all right.
Well, I didn't know Micah was in Timothy today, but I wanted to know how I should start, you know, just instead of just walking up and presenting books. If you keep reading right after your last verse, This is why the word of nothing takes the place of the word. Okay. Let me be real clear about that. You should read your Bible every day. You should study your Bible every day. Because you can't have a relationship. You've heard me say that. You don't know your friend unless you call and talk to him. You don't know what's going on. But this is what Paul, this is Paul's last will and testament to Timothy, who is guiding the church of that age. And he's saying, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, have in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do their will. We all have to be careful, as Paul says in Corinthians, to take heed lest we fall. Do you understand that? We can be so consumed with our own opinions or perspectives at that point in time because of our circumstances. So circumstances do not line up with the truth. I mean, the truth doesn't line up with our circumstances. It's our circumstances we have to make line up with the truth. So this is such an excellent scripture of why you should read the word. Then some other things to give clarity or to understand where you are. I'm going to start with...
No, let me set her up here real quick. This is a variety of things here. And what we're going to do when we're done, we're going to lay these out in the front row. And if you want to come up and take a screen grab of these, you can go today. You can order it today and you can have it this week. But different, and some of these things will touch different ones of you. This is a new one she's reading. Tell me about it.
Well, Roy actually is in seminary, has been for a couple of years, and he's been diligently studying. And so every now and then he'll tell me about a book. Well, on Good Friday, he had handed me this book called The Creator Revealed. Okay. It's a science book, and I admit it. I'm not a science person, okay? I'm not a math or science person. I'm trying to catch up in those two subjects. I'm a liberal arts major, right. So if you want to know about, you know, freedom from fear, I'm always reading stuff like that, or, you know, how to approach people. But anyway, The Creator Revealed. It took me until 2 or 3 weeks ago to say, okay, I need to read this book. Roy says, this is a good book. I got
to
read it.
Tell me how it explains it to like a mom or...
Yeah. So at first I thought, oh goodness. I said, you know, I don't know. Am I going to really grasp this? So Science and Faith is the front of the book. And it's written by a physicist who's a third generation PK, preacher's kid. And he's the only brother that didn't go into the ministry, but he loves God. He has a Christian biblical perspective. But what he did was he wrote the book to talk about how science confirms the word. There's nothing in the word that is going to contradict science. Now, scientists may put a different spin on it, but it's the word and science are going to be backed up. They're going to back each other up. So he goes in and explaining this from the standpoint of a homeschooler learning science for the first time of creation and made in the image of God, and how old the earth is, and all of that. It's very interesting. Of course, my first thought was Mary Alice Kane, because she is the science and math whiz of the church, and she taught it for so many years, and I have gotten in a discussion with her before listening about how creation and things like that. It's very interesting. You will love this book because it will give you ammunition in a good way, being gentle when you're talking about it, but it will give you ammunition in dealing with people who don't understand or want you to believe an atheistic point of view about the about our world we live in, and how, well, if the Bible's accurate, how come it doesn't line up when God said that the earth was created in 6 days? How many of you go, I mean, I have, it's like one of those questions that I just say, well, I'm not exactly a theologian, so, you know, some things are by faith. All right, so that is a book. You got to get that. All right, now, another one that I've been reading for a while, you've heard me talk about this guy before, this pastor, Timothy Keller. He is a Presbyterian, but he is definitely filled with the Spirit on the side. No one knows. He's actually dying right now of pancreatic cancer, unless God raise him up, which we are praying for. He's in New York City. He's done many great things and led many. You got to remember, his perspective is coming from cynicism, because most people in New York, they think they know it all and got it all. So this one is his newest one, called Hope in Times of Fear. And he's dealing with the cross and resurrection. And he says, so many times in Protestant churches, we don't deal with the resurrection on a level that we need to really understand. That is a great book. All right. One, if you want apologetics, me and Roy have talked about this.
Look at the side of this book.
Presenting the gospel in today's world is different than presenting the gospel in the 70s and 80s, okay? And Randy Alcorn is an excellent, excellent theologian and pastor, and it's called If God Is So Good. This is a book you should have in your library. It deals with how to answer questions biblically. It's simply written. You're not going to get bogged down or not understand it. It's excellent. Another one that I love, that this is a couple of years old, I haven't really looked at it for a while, but I said, well, this is worth mentioning too. Neil Anderson, another theologian, professor, teacher, excellent. Freedom from Fear, Overcoming Worry and Anxiety. He actually goes into the science of how our brains work and why we become worried, why we become anxious.
You know how my brain works?
No, no one's figured that one out. you'll love his stuff. It's great. All right, not to be confused with Timothy Keller, Philip Keller, excellent. I think he's Australian. He's very good, and he does, some of us need word pictures. He takes Psalm 23 and, yeah, it is a classic. A shepherd looks at Psalm 23, and he gives you analogies of why David wrote what he wrote in Psalm 23, that even the ungodly want read at their, funerals. This will give you a concept and a greater broadening of who God is.
For some of you who love fiction.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'm not a fiction reader, okay, just in case you didn't know. I want to read a book. I want information, and I want to see if I can learn something. All right, but I love Francine Rivers. She's a Christian novelist, and she wrote several novellas, they're called, like The Five Lineage and the Five Women and the Lineage of Christ. Excellent book, and it's a five-part series. She also wrote these on the five men behind the scenes of great men. Moses, you know about, but do you know about Caleb? Caleb the warrior. And she takes the facts of the Bible. She does not do anything to skew the scriptures, but she adds color to it. It's excellent. Some people would rather read a fiction type thing in the sense of how she pieced it together of what was going on during that time. Francine Rivers, she's excellent. An old one for all of us, what do I call them? Kazmaniacs? T.L. Osborne. When I was sick in 1999, there was actually his first book called Healing the Sick is a classic.
Healing the Sick is the classic quintessential word on healing and stuff by T.L. Osborne. This is another one of his books.
Yeah, he takes a lot of what he says in that book, and we've got one that's signed by T.L., and so I didn't want to bring it today. It's fallen apart, and I didn't want it to get more damage. But T.L. Osborne's books on healing will such ignite faith inside of you, you will be amazed. And the last one, Susan and Jerry David were in a couple of weeks ago, and they actually told me to buy this, and they bought it for me. But it's called An American Prophecy, The Fourth Turning. It was written in the late 90s by historians who are Christian, and they have gotten a lot of publicity lately because even news media has been contacting them. There are cycles, just like God sets up cycles and seasons. And we talk about, you know, cycles even in families and why do they happen. The Bible is very clear why they happen, but sometimes we are so familiar with something we don't recognize it when it's happening. The political scenes of what we're, and civilization. Yes, of civilization, there are cycles that civilizations go through. If you, that's why in your first year of college, you're going to study Western Civ. You're going to study, you know, different civilizations around the world. If you go to a Loyola or something, they're going to make you study the religions of the world. So all of this plays into what we're going through now. This is called The Fourth Turning by William Strauss and Neil Howell. And it is very, very enlightening. It will give you some understanding of what is going on in a secular sense, but also from two men that are Christians.
This book, right? Put that down there with those two, baby. Yeah. Also, that book I gave one to Jim Flint. And by the way, Jim, they need a healing touch today. They're not feeling quite well today, too. I meant to add Jim and Lynn to my prayer list. Let's all stand together. There's one more. Hang on.
There's another secret weapon that I just want to make you understand. What is it that we do? If you have an Apple, I'm sure it's also on an Android, but if you have a little app that's resonant there called Podcast, and you can download all kinds of stuff. You can also go on YouTube. This morning, I was on YouTube, and I listened to Tony Evans pretty frequently. He's excellent, and he has a new one out that he just did. It's only 25 minutes long. If you look it up, you'll find it. It's called The Suppression of Truth. And it's exactly what you were talking about this morning. And it tells you from the perspective of what's going in the culture, what God says, and what we should do about it.
Also, the Charisma podcast, Stephen Strang on Charisma. He's we've known since we were young men. And that's all. I know we've loaded you with a lot, but I want you to be armed. And one of these things may touch you. If none of them touch you, make sure you find something, though. Something that you're reading, because your newspaper won't do it, your news won't do it, and you need something. And it works in companion with the Word.
Go outside.
Come here. Come here. Come here. What'd you say?
And you got to bust out of, like, you might always want to read about how to control your feelings or something but go with the Creator, because you need to know who God is.
Yeah, right.
And when you understand how big God is, then it'll make you understand some things that you might be asking about.
Don't get red in the face about the third horse. You know what I mean? What's the Word say about tomorrow? What's the Word say about tomorrow? Give us this day our daily bread. Strength for today, that we sing, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. These are going to be up here for a few minutes. You can take some screen grabs of them. I would encourage you, especially this one of the creation with this small little book here, especially the young people, homeschoolers, would need to use these things, and we're proponents of what's going on. That's got to grow, because schools have been taken over, and it's different. You ready? I know we've given you a lot. I know you got us on the day that we were a fire hydrant, not a water hose. All right, put your right hand up. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he grant you peace in your coming and your going. And everybody said,
amen.
God love you. God bless you. Thanks for coming.